have a basketball program that we all expect to compete for Big Ten and national championships year in and year out.
There's no other way to look at it. It's one of the better jobs in the Big Ten.
Final four!
I didn't think you was going to be this good, but it feels good!
First, I need that national championship.
There you go.
Sorry.
All good.
Here we go.
Boss is here.
Quick, pull up a spreadsheet on you.
I'll get that report to you by end of day.
Yeah, we can circle back on
the
that
boss
later.
Mode button on March.
Let's put a pin in that one. Yes, numbers. It's like, sir, you work at a Wendy's. Why is there a spreadsheet up?
See, why can't
more time recording?
Why can't this be the pod?
I mean, it can be. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome into the newest episode of The Boardroom. It's interesting. It's such a cheerful introduction, but I have a feeling that it's not going to be cheerful for the entire episode. There was some good, there was some bad, and there was some ugly since we last recorded a podcast. You know, some of the good with the Northwestern, some of the bad, and some of the ugly in what we experienced last night with the Maryland game. So we figured what better way than to allow Robert to have a little bit of a therapy session. I think there's a lot out there. I guess, Robert, do you want a chance maybe just to clear the air a little bit? I feel like people really came at you last night a little bit. And I don't know, justified, unjustified, whatever you want to call it. Let's just give you the floor to respond.
Okay, let's start with this. This is going to sound bad. It's going to sound bad to start with this. We're going to start with this. I don't think people understand what mute is on Twitter, okay? So I want to use this opportunity on your podcast to explain how this works, okay? Like, some people will get mad about a loss or mad about something, and they'll, like, just take, like, a really personal shot at me on Twitter. And the only thing I really can do in these instances, I don't block people in this, but if I see it's a name that takes like multiple shots, I just mute them, and then I don't ever know about them ever again. So there was one time, like, it doesn't hide these people from me. So there's one time I was looking for something on Tyler's Twitter, and I saw a response to something Tyler said, and I'm like, I think I know that name. So I clicked on the person's name, and it was someone I had muted. And I went to their replies to tweets, and I'm not kidding, they had 300 or 400 questions they had sent me over the previous years. And, like, I will never see those. They will never know they're not getting through to me. Like, the way mute works is, like, I just make a decision, like, I can't have this in my timeline, or I'm just not going to be able to, like, interact with people. And I mute you, and that's it.
Yeah.
And you think, like, why won't he respond to me? You know, like, people don't know. Yeah, you're just, like, I'm never going to get it again. I will never, the only way I can keep my sanity in a post-game thread when I'm getting hundreds of, like, ats toward me.
And it's literally hundreds, right? Like, you're not over-exaggerating.
Yes.
It's literally
hundreds. I'm not exaggerating. The only way I can like, manage the whole scene is to just the people that are just repeat, like, take shot. Like, if it's personal, I just mute and we move along. And I don't think a second time. And maybe that person's a subscriber now, and that would suck. And I try to, like, not do that. But it's the only way. And I say this because, like, people much more with way more followers than me and much more, you know, involved on Twitter than me and everything else are doing the same thing. And I don't think people have any idea. Like, people, like, there are people out there tweeting at reporters, tweeting, you know, whatever. It doesn't have to be sports. And all those reporters have muted them, and they don't even know it. And you can't tell when someone has muted you. You know, you can tell when somebody's blocked you, but you don't know about mutes. So I feel like people don't understand, like, I'm going to get really personal because I'm in an emotional mood right now, and I'm going to yell at the. Okay, that's fine, but just know that a lot of those people muted you, and now you're just talking to nobody on Twitter forever. Like, you know, I almost want to, like, tell people, like, stop, just, you know, don't do it. That's gonna eliminate.
isn't just talking on Twitter talking to no one in the first place?
Good point. Good point. Yes.
I did a quick search of your mentions, and the word overreact just keeps popping up. It's probably 10 to 15 different people. That sounds exhausting, but I guess the mute button might clear some things up there.
Correct. Correct. Is that, and again, it's the only, it's not some like, well, I'm going to get this guy, I'm going to mute him. It's not like, it is the only way to manage it. It is the only way to, hey, I'm going to go through my mentions and respond to some people and see what things, like, the only way to do that is to go through at certain times, just like, this guy just simply wants to take shots. And I'm just going to have to mute.
I'm not sure if some of them are creating Twitter accounts just to do that because their avatar is like the egg or like that silhouette gray. And it's like they happen to join Twitter within the last like month or something. And they're just creating like these shadow Twitter accounts
or
something.
That's just Brett Bielema following me. That's all.
Yeah. That's his burner. One of his many
just
burners.
Just a Bielema burner. That's all it is. I didn't know he cared so much about Illini basketball.
That's true. Yeah.
That concerned about Curbelo's shot with a minute and a half to go.
Well, we were definitely a little concerned about you last night because, you know, and we were, Josh as a Titans fan and us three as a Bears fan. It is just a tough Sunday. I mean, talk about tough sports Sundays. I think that was probably like the worst sports Sunday since like almost exactly 2 years prior to that with like the, you know, the double doink and all that fun stuff. But we don't have to relive
that. That was a good Sunday.
Same day as the Northwestern basketball game.
Right.
Kofi did commit to us that day though. And it was one of those head scratching. Why are you committing to a team that you saw lose to Florida Atlantic?
Right.
And now we can't even get a shot off and have like a shot clock violation with 30 seconds left in the game.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, we're
but to answer Matt, to answer your like overall question of like my psyche, my sanity. It's funny. Like this morning, my college roommate calls me like right after I got up. He just like instinctively knows he's probably gonna have to talk me off of a ledge, and so I had a decent conversation with him and straightened my brain around. But my reaction was simply, I have poured so much into this being, somebody sent me a tweet today and it was, or maybe it was an email I got. I don't know. There's so much like outreach, which is great, but sometimes awful. That said, like, I was hoping this was going to be another 05, another 89. Last night probably proves that it's not. Maybe last night just shows us that the ceiling here is 01 or 87 or, you know, one of the, like a three seed team or like a, you know, 01 was a one seed team that's, you know, got to the Elite Eight. Maybe it's just that kind of like, which is still a special season. And we haven't been in the tournament since 13, so it's a big deal. Mm-hmm. So, you know, maybe that's somewhere to land here. But my emotion after the game last night was, I can't remember a worse loss in this building besides Penn State 06, where you're just, you know, like it was number 6 KenPom against 51 in Champaign, and no Illinois team that was a top 10 team. Okay. So we're talking, actually, let me just go through it mentally. We got to the top 10 in 83, 84. I think we got there in like 86 as well. 87, we definitely were top 10. 89, absolutely. 90, we got into the top 10. Weren't back in the top 10 in 01, we got back in the top 10. And then parts of 3, 4, and 5, we were in the top 10. Even 06.
Can I just point out how Robert is just doing this off the top of his head? He's like looking into space as if there's like a computer screen in front of him. It's just remarkable sometimes how he just goes into this like just savant mode of like, okay, 01, 02, 03, that was that.
That's right.
It's just there. It's all there. I think maybe that's part of why you lay it all out on the line there. It's all, you know, put my emotions on my sleeve. It's just because, you know, it's all there.
Correct.
All the time.
Correct. And that's why my immediate reaction was, I don't think, you know, I was considering this a top 10 team. Like, yes, we were number 12, but that's because we had played three teams in the top 15. Like KenPom 6, Net 5, like we were a top 10 team last night. And no team like that, no Illinois team like that has ever lost a game to a team like this, Maryland, decides the 06 end of it all game. It just hasn't happened when we're this good, which means we're probably not this good, which means I need to let a bunch of stuff go. And that's really hard. And that's why I didn't go to sleep till 5, because it's just, you know, letting that go after building up all day and all year. And since Tofi and Io announced July 31st and August 1st or whatever, you know, to hang on to it until last night was just really, really difficult to let it go, because it probably means, look, we can still make fun of four. Anything could still happen. Like Maryland could like finish 13-7 in the Big Ten, and like their 1-5 start was a total fluke. Who knows? Like anything could possibly happen, but it probably means that we're not Final Four good, and that's devastating.
If it makes you feel better, Jaleel Billingsley just had a catch. I was going to ask that.
That was mean.
Would you believe I believed that both Ohio State starting linebackers, both Tough Borland and Pete Werner, I believed at one point that we had a chance at both of them?
Adoye will fit perfectly in this scheme. So. Yeah.
Yes.
Robert, you used the word frustrated. Mm-hmm. Well, no, you said devastating. I feel more frustrated. Like, I know we're not like the analysts who go into deep into like what happened during the game, and that's not like our job whatsoever. And that's not like who you like kind of like made yourself out to be. But like that last possession, missed free throws, multiple turnovers from Io. It kind of just makes you so upset about it just makes you upset about what like is going on like day to day within the program. Like why was that the last possession for Io to go left? Like of all things to go left, and then like, not even having Kofi touch the ball in the last 8 minutes. It's just more frustrating to me. And I'm disappointed, and like I don't want to like. I still love Brad. It's just multiple points where I'm more frustrated than devastated.
Yep.
I didn't hear you complaining after the Penn State game last year.
I probably did.
I mean, I'm glad you prefaced that, Josh, with the way you did, because part of it is as just like personality wise, I don't have that. Like, I just don't. It's so rare that I just have this like. Here, I'll try to explain it this way. I don't have short answers, so I just have to go long answer here. Once you're on, like a press conference call with Underwood, and so I've done, you know, 30 Zooms with Underwood this year, let's say, or whatever, you know, like once you're interacting with somebody face to face, to criticize them by writing or speaking or anything else becomes this like, man, if I said this to his face, I know I wouldn't know what I was talking. Like, I would feel like a fraud. You know, I would be like, you know, even if he is a bad coach, you know, even with Lovey, even with Bob McClain. Okay. Like I was not happy with the Bob McClain hire. I wanted him fired after this first season. I wanted Harry Hiestand hired, you know, like I had this whole thing. But even with Bob McClain, if I was like face to face with him, he could talk football circles around me. And so because of that, like I just have this like, I don't know if I can ever get into the why of questioning things, because I don't think I could look Underwood in the eye and say, you know, why did Io go left? Because there's probably some reasons I don't understand. Now, that's not to say you can't ever like go with Kofi touching the ball. Like, yes, at some point a coach needs to step in. It was every fan's takeaway last night is like, you know, after 25 minutes of that game, Maryland didn't have a single player that could stop him. Even the 7-2 guy was just like, hey, toothpick, get out of my way. I'm dunking. And so then for it to suddenly stop, it's the easiest takeaway ever of like, man, if he touches the ball 5 times, this and that. Underwood's answer was interesting in the post game of like the 2 times he touched it, they doubled. 1 time they triple teamed him. He turned it over twice. And that made them think, wait, we know Kofi can't really pass out of the post. If they're going to triple team him, if Kofi touches it, it's a turnover. Now, is that the right decision? Probably not, you know, but that's why it's so hard for me to, you know, then get on the post game call. You have to understand, since we're talking about like Twitter people reaching out, like people will like, people want to load up my, but they know I'm on the Zoom call. So people are like, ask Underwood, you know, it's like,
I think I've texted you a question to ask
us. Yes.
Do not ask whatever he texts. Okay. Yes, please promise me that.
I won't.
It's going to be emotionally fueled and statistically inaccurate.
You gonna let him just talk about you like that, John?
No, it's fine. No, I'm done with stats after Mike Vrabel decided not to go for it.
Anyways, okay. Like I said, emotionally fueled and statistically inaccurate.
Wait a minute. I want to talk about the Vrabel thing. That was the punt thing that was like a. Did you see that? Do you know that one Twitter account that lists the
100th percentile?
Yes. I almost screen capped it to send it to you, and then I thought like, oh man, there might be some emotions here. I don't know if I need to send that.
That was another. I'm just more frustrated than sad at that point.
Yeah,
because of that. But all right, let's go back to Illinois basketball.
Okay. Yes.
Are we supposed to be talking about the Bears wound or no? Are we allowed to do that?
No. Thank you for asking.
We are in a transition. Millennium for Bears football, so we're just working through some stuff right now.
Yeah, look, can I give you my Bears observations? Yeah,
absolutely.
Since I didn't watch the game and didn't care.
Sure.
Like, it has to be frustrating to like it has to be like the biggest purgatory fan feeling of all time.
Yeah.
To like either you want to go 5-11 and the coach gets fired, or you want to, you know, have a decent shot in the playoffs. To sneak in at 8-8, which probably means the coach. I don't even know. Like, I agree.
We've all said it. Yeah, no, it is the worst position to be in, and it's like the worst sport where to be in that position.
When everyone is frustrated at your coach, but the only person who wants to keep them there is David Tyson. you know you're in a weird spot.
Oh man, I think he's been asking for Dave Wonstead back.
Yeah, he was a huge John Fox guy. But going back to your kind of Twitter mentions, and
yes,
we're at a really interesting kind of like fork in the road with our fan base, where half of the people are saying it's way overreaction. We haven't been to the tournament since 2013. Everyone should enjoy the season. I'm kind of in the same boat as you, Robert, that it's really devastating because this season was built up to be so important and so like the rebirth of Illinois basketball, because how many opportunities do you have to have a consensus first team All-American on your team in IO?
Yep.
A consensus about to be first team All Big Ten, what we thought in Kofi, and then other seniors. So I'm kind of with you in that, like, the frustration and the devastation is kind of mounting. And I got a text from our good friend Sam Bricker, who said, after Ohio, Baylor, Mizzou, Rutgers, the Penn State run, the Purdue run, the Northwestern run, I think this is the wake-up call that this team needs. Being very sarcastic and saying, like, why are they so inconsistent?
Yeah.
We keep pointing to things saying, okay, now they're going to turn the corner. Now they're going to turn the corner. Yep. When is that corner coming? And it just feels like such a weight on this team.
Yeah, you know, I have my people. Because Twitter mentions can drag me in so many directions of like, man, is this really the reaction of the fan base, or is this several really, really loud people? I just have my collection of people that I text with and that I rely on and that I bounce things off of, and, you know, people that keep me sane. And everybody on that crew seemed to mostly be where I was of, oh man, this is not there. Like, it's just like, this is the moment we probably have to say, okay, we surrender what we thought it was going to be. It's not there. Still can be good. Still might be even great. It's just like, you know, we need to prepare ourselves for a worst case scenario of Final Four Iowa and Illinois going out in the round of 32. We just have to do it. Like, yes, we have to prepare ourselves.
Oh, well, you even compared them to 87, and I was like, imagine this team losing to Austin Peay. That would be the worst year ever.
Yep. And that's the thing. See, and that's the thing about like 87 is I've always said this. They lost to Austin Peay. The team that won that regional was 10 seed Providence. Illinois would have absolutely, if Ken Norman's shot falls in the final 10 seconds against Austin Peay, Illinois is in the Final Four that year. I don't think there's any question in my mind. The path was then cleared. All they would have really had to do was beat a 10 seed to get there because the whole region fell apart. And so, you know, in my mind, as a, what was I, 16-year-old kid, 15-year-old kid at the time or whatever, like I even knew that this was a team that would never be remembered for how good they were. And that kind of feels like where we're at right now. I'm not predicting an early tournament loss. I'm just saying like there's just a tiny, like they seem to have everything. And Ken Norman, I think, was a first team All-American that year. Oh God, this is scaring me now, Johnny. You bet you like,
oh my God, did Robert forget a very niche, minute statistic from 30 years ago?
No, I'm just thinking.
Subscribers numbers are about to plummet.
Like Doug Altenberger came back for that season. He was supposed to be a senior in 86, but he was injured. So like you have the senior guy, you got a couple senior leaders, you've got the superstar in Ken Norman, you've got some freshmen. God.
What's making me very upset right now is you went off a little bit about the like 87 team and the 01 team, and then we have 89 and 2005 that follow both of those teams.
Yeah.
And I guess we have Curbelo, but I don't know how much of a future we have right now. Like, there's nothing that's like giving me optimism.
Okay, this is totally going to go really low.
But Josh, that is absolutely on my mind last night.
That just sunk into my heart.
So that's why I think this team might be most comparable to the 2006 team. You have kind of your star point guard with D. Brown or Io, and then you have that returning big man, Augustine and Kofi, and then you have those guys who are kind of role players who you're hoping to step up, but Richard McBride never really turns into the guy. And one stat that I was looking at, 2006 KenPom, ninth in the country at the end of the year. Sounds a lot like this current team. You become a four seed, and then you face Brandon Roy in the second round, and you just come up short.
You know, Johnny, I'd just like to point out for you Bears fans, when you said one stat I'd looked at, I thought you said one stat looked at.
Hey, bring him back. Bring him back.
Just trying to bring all the synergy here. So, just trying to bring everything together.
What would it take outside of literally winning every Big Ten game for the rest of the season? Can we get back to the point of what you were feeling before the Maryland game? Or has the Maryland game happened and there's just nothing realistically that could bring you back to the point of, okay, we're still a Final Four contender. Maybe we slipped up a little bit. Every team has it's bad. It's college basketball. There's chaos. These are 20-year-old kids. These things happen. Or is it just, there's just nothing that can change your mind at this point after watching a weak Maryland team.
Robert,
go ahead.
You got to be like Ted Lasso. What Ted Lasso says to Sam.
Be a goldfish.
Be a goldfish.
I don't understand, but go ahead.
My wife like wore her Be a Goldfish shirt just yesterday, so I need to. Yes, we're a family that now has Ted Lasso clothing. So to answer the question, I don't think anything's like lost. What is gone is my internal debate of we're good, right? No, wow, we're really good. No, gosh, I don't know if we're that freaking good. Oh no, we're like the roller coaster is over in my mind. I don't need to have this internal debate anymore. We have flaws because Tyler and I wrote about this in the back and forth. I mean, the entire back and forth we did last week was talking about this, in that, okay, we come out and we look really good in the first two games, and ESPN puts up a stat that says, you know, the only teams that have ever won two games by 50 plus in a row, and it was like the Oklahoma team that made the final in 89 and all this stuff. It's like, okay, well, wow, if we're beating people by this margin, we're really good. Ohio happens, it's like, wait, hit the brakes, we're not a top 10 team. Baylor, it's like, okay, fine, you can excuse it. Duke, it's like, we are absolutely who we thought we were. We just dominated Duke at Duke. We are superheroes. We're you know, this is happening. And then it's just the whole, like, Missouri is a complete fall on your face. But then Minnesota, who's turned out to be good, you just completely dominate them. So it's this, like, no, we're good. Oh, we are. And so then games like Penn State, it's 19-4 Penn State to start the game. And it's like, you know, I had my tweet at the time of like, maybe we're just not good. Like, maybe we just need to accept that this just isn't happening. And then, you know, we roll them by like 40-point margin the rest of the game. So I've been on that roller coaster up until this game of, okay, Purdue is a little sluggish, but this and Indiana, but oh my gosh, you know, we turned it on at Northwestern, and in that second half looked like one of the best Illini teams ever. And all of that kind of went off the tracks last night. It was just, okay, I accept it. We have flaws. And I need to stop thinking this is, you know, are we? Okay, yes, we are. I don't know. Are we? Yes, okay, we still are. Are we still in it? Yes, we still are. I'm just done doing that. I'm just, we're flawed. We're not a top 10 team. It'll take a lot to convince me that we are. We'd still be a Sweet 16 team. We can still be something like that. But the great Illini teams of the past just never lost this game. And I think there's something to that. And that's why I'm still 24 hours later sticking to it. This was one of the worst home losses in 40 years.
To your last point about the great Illini teams not losing this game, how much of it is like we lost the game versus just didn't look like, if DeMonte makes those two free throws and we end up coming back, do you feel differently today about where we stand?
Great question, Sam. Great question. Because yeah, like I think I would have still been on that roller coaster, right? Like, okay, that was worrisome, but we did pull it out. Okay. You know, maybe I should be thankful that we finally have this loss to be like, okay, I can stop thinking
the
through
fifth
those
stage
things.
Of grief. I knew we would make our way through all five. All right. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening.
I'm his acceptance.
Yes.
Yeah. I, you know, it's like almost freeing to then approach this season differently. Again, it's all still out there. The things people have been texting me, tweeting me, emailing me, everything you're sending me, people, I get it. Like, it's still possible. We still have an All-American. We still have Kofi. We still, you know, like, it's all still there. It's just, this was the final proof necessary to say, no, we're not a top 10 team. Because remember, when I said that in a pretty innocuous tweet after the Ohio game of like, okay, I get, you know, we're not top 10, but that's fine. Like, we can fight back, and I just get all this like overwhelming, like, what do you mean we're not a top 10 team? Do you see how good that kid was in Ohio? And, you know, people were like quite angry about that tweet. And so maybe I've been pivoting back and forth on that tweet for 2 months of like, we are, no, we're not. Well, maybe you are. No, we're not. And now this is just, okay, let's accept that we're not a top 10 team. We're not headed for a top two seed. We have some flaws. If we don't fix them, it's just going to be a let's hope for the second weekend kind of team. And that's pretty disappointing.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, is just top 10 teams put teams away in a way that we just haven't. I guess like the Maryland game, yes, Trent kind of gets hurt, but they also don't have Eric Ayala. So like at some point, you just kind of have to bury teams, and when you're at home against a top 50 KenPom team, that's something you just can't, a top 10 team does.
Yep, that's the thing that bothered me about so many people sending me the Maryland's 45 in the net, this isn't your normal bad Big Ten team. Okay, yes, but someone please send me that tweet while also saying, of course, that number 45 team didn't have their leading score, which I'm guessing if you use KenPom's projections or, you know, one of those sites, would make them the number 85 team or the number 115 team in the country just by taking that guy's stats out of the equation. So this was not like, we have to remember that they were missing their leading scorer and they came to Champaign and beat us. And that's just really, really bad.
So I guess moving forward, because that's all we can do as Illini fans is put on a brave face. You know, there's no Nebraska on Wednesday. Yep. With COVID, and so Ohio State is next up Saturday. And I guess how, because I love this question, I think we've asked it earlier on when we had some struggles, you know, how do we cleanse the soul here? Because, you know, you won't have an opportunity to have like a nice 17-point win against Nebraska. You know, we'll be favored against Ohio State at home, but it's by no means a gimme, obviously. What do we need to do? And there's no football game that we can watch or root on for our team. So what do we need to do now to just cleanse the soul a little bit, maybe get us back on the right track here a little bit, so your Twitter mentions are at least a little bit more rational?
That's a great question. I haven't really thought about, you know, I spent all day thinking about that Nebraska game, and, you know, like Indiana and Nebraska were tied with like 2 minutes to go or whatever. And I'm watching it sitting there in the press area at State Farm Center and thinking like, you know, basically after our loss, I'm driving home thinking about that game. I'm like, wow, I can see us tied with Nebraska with 2 minutes to go. Like I maybe couldn't see, you know, before I could see that 17-point win, but like, what if we do what we did in the first half at Northwestern for 30 minutes? Can we fight back? You know, like the naps this team takes is just so frustrating. And so I think when you say, what do I need to see? I need to see 40 minutes. Like I don't care if it's like just okay for 40 minutes. I just want to see something consistent. I want to see the energy maintained at the same level, you know, like it is for, you know, even other Illinois teams that aren't 05 or 89 or 84 or whatever. You know, I want to see just consistent energy and no 19-0 runs and no, you know, down by 15 at the half to Northwestern kind of stuff. I just want to see consistent, steady play, because that's just lacking, and I don't know why. And, you know, Underwood said it. It's on him. Like, that's – what does a head coach do? Well, that's a big part of it. You know, you figure out the formula of how to get your team to keep the same energy for 40 minutes.
I can tell you what the worst-case scenario is for your mentions. And that's E.G. Liddell going for 30 points.
Oh, God. And, yes.
And us just once again coming out flat.
He did that to Carmen and I last year when we drove to Columbus and sat in the crowd.
Oh, Carmen wasn't vocal about that at all. That's the good thing, though.
Yes. Yes. Not at all. Not at all. God.
But that's the thing with this team. Even if they have one good game, I feel like we all want to see an elongated stretch of wins. So even if they piece together a nice performance against Ohio State, when can we really trust this team in the long term to say, okay, maybe they are a top 10 team?
Well, you look at their schedule, you know, no Nebraska, assuming that's going to be made up, but, you know, yeah. Versus Ohio State, then 4 days later, versus Penn State, then you go at Michigan State, and then the big boy, you know, versus Iowa on Friday the 29th. So, I mean, I wouldn't say that any of those games are gimmies. You know, Ohio State's ranked, Penn State, hopefully, Michigan State. They've been a little inconsistent. And then, of course, Iowa. So I don't know if you necessarily see a stretch where they're all winnable or, like, easy wins per se. I think, again, yesterday sort of changes your perception on those games.
You ready for a take you're absolutely going to hate?
I'm sitting.
Is this a trick question?
No.
Johnny, are you?
I'm ready.
Let me sit down.
Like, if we dominate Iowa...
Okay, all right, I'm going to have to stop you right there.
Yeah. If we dominate Iowa at home, I'm going to be kind of mad, right?
Yeah, that's, it's like, that's why does this team sleepwalk when they have the ability to dominate an Iowa team?
I mean, I feel like dominating wins the next few weeks will be how in the hell did we – like, Maryland's going to lose their next three, and we're going to be back here like, how in the hell did we lose that game? Like, look, I'm not going to be like mad after if we dunk on Garza. Nobody's going to be mad. If CJ McCollum leaves in tears, nobody's going to be like mad. Okay.
CJ McCollum.
Oh, sorry.
Are we that good?
Did you know he transferred to Iowa? CJ Frederick. like if what we, I'm so freaking out to the fact that I said CJ McCollum. If I'm trying to think of a hated Iowa guy in the past, like I'm trying to find an Iowa guy that would blow up on Twitter mad about losing to Illinois.
Oh, you're thinking about the Iowa guy, the Iowa basketball player, just the Iowa basketball player.
Yes, yes.
Aaron White, Roy Devin Marble.
Yes. Yeah. Like if I'm not going to be mad when I see Iowa people melting down on Twitter. Like, I'm not going to be mad, but I'm still going to be like, if we can hang with Iowa like this and dunk on them at home, how in the hell did we lose to Maryland?
Well, because college basketball, so anarchy.
I guess. I mean, yeah. You want to cling to that.
That's what's been frustrating for me is watching a team like Michigan continue to just rise up the rankings. They haven't really played anyone. They took Oakland to overtime in one of their first games at home.
Bowling Green is very good.
But they've been taking care of business, and it's frustrating because that's all I want to see is just like beat the teams you're supposed to beat, and eventually you keep getting rewarded. And I don't even think they're that good, but like as a fan, it's just nice to see your teams not let anyone get the best of you.
But that's the thing. It's like, you know, like Michigan has had their team like that. Like they were in the title game in what, 2018, 2017?
Yeah.
Like they were in the Final Four. When was Mitch McGarry? Like 2013?
13, 14.
Yeah. Like they've had this Illini team. And if they're better than us during our year, do you know how infuriating that is?
It's terrible.
Like, just give us a freaking year. Just let us have something.
I love that you remember Mitch McGarry of all players from that Final Four team.
Oh, the hate is strong.
No, that's a good point, though. It's like you just see teams do exactly what they need to do, and it's got to be so pleasant as a Michigan fan, especially if you just watch this football season, inconsistent Michigan football, and you just see a nice, pleasant, consistent, taking care of business. Maybe you're not the best team, but you're just taking care of business night in and night out, and you sit at the top of the Big Ten rankings at 5-0 right now. And who knows, when we play them, maybe we'll whoop them or maybe they'll whoop us. And the real stars will shine to see how good Michigan is this year. Because they did that last year. I believe they went from unranked, and then they had all those ranked wins in 1 week, and they went to like number two, right? Yeah. And then they fell out of the top 25 by the end of the year.
Yeah.
Well, we beat them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we beat them twice. Mm-hmm. But yes, I agree. It's pleasant to see your team do what it's supposed to do night in and night out.
In their five Big Ten games, they've won all of them besides one of them. By more than 10. So they're taking care of business, putting teams away, like we've been saying. They do have Wisconsin tomorrow, which I don't even – there's no – you root for a tie. There's there's nothing.
Meteor. Who do you guys root
for? That's the worst.
Oh, that's a good question. Who do you pull for tomorrow? All four of you have to answer.
I mean, you still got to play – what's Wisconsin's record in the Big Ten? They have one loss? Right,
they did lose to Maryland.
I mean, you still got to play for the Big Ten title, and I think you got to start rooting for Michigan to lose some games here. I know, Robert, in your world, it's like we're out on the Big Ten title, but you know, I still think we have a chance. You know, two losses. I would imagine that the winner of the Big Ten is still going to have more than two losses, so you got to still root for what gets you a Big Ten title, and I think you got to start giving Michigan some losses there. So unfortunately, I'm not rooting for Wisconsin, but I want Michigan to lose. But I'd be very more than pleased seeing Wisconsin take another L, because they're also probably going to contend for the title, like we said.
Okay, who else wants to go?
I'm probably more worried about Wisconsin winning the title, so I might have to pull for Michigan one more game.
Mm-hmm.
I might be rooting for Wisconsin because we have them twice on our schedule versus just once versus Michigan, so beef up that KenPom for Wisconsin, beef up that net for Wisconsin, just to have that road Kohl Center win look that much more impressive. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my take is the same as Schwaber's.
Yeah, I feel like
Sam.
I feel like I align with Johnny for the 347th consecutive time.
Okay. Well, there you have it. We are officially a Wisconsin podcast on Wisconsin. Let's jump around.
That's so disgusting to root for Nate Reavers, Micah Potter, Brad Davison.
He's the cleanest player in the Big Ten. I've always admired his hard work and admiration and the key taking charges. I just respect his work ethic. Gritty.
You know, Demetric Trice is older than I am. He's playing college basketball, and we're 3 years out of school.
Johnny, you've had a job for like 3 years,
and he is older than I am.
Aren't all their starters like older than the Bulls starters?
They're all over 21. Yeah, they're all over 21.
But they have 2 24-year-olds, and then some 22-year-olds.
So annoying.
And to think the Bulls could be a playoff team because you have LaVine, Kobe White, Wendell Carter.
Garrett Temple would like to enter the chat. Well, we've really covered the gamut on teams
is
here tonight,
CJ
I feel
McCollum
like.
On the Bulls?
I think so. We really showed our range here tonight talking about the Bulls, the Bears, the Illini, the Titans. Are there any other teams that you want to give a shout out to? Robert, do you want to talk about the Cardinals this year or,
well,
or
no,
the Blues?
Robert can complain about the fact that the Rams are still in the NFL playoffs.
Yes, hate it. I want them to lose. It's so fun to have like a team you used to have their jersey and now you're pulled to hate them. It's like having I've never been divorced, but I imagine it's the ex-wife feeling of, you know, like, but I can't stand the Rams. Should we talk a little Aston Villa?
I was just going to say, I think they have two players in the world starting 11.
Uh-huh. Yes. I mean, that was the craziest. I don't tweet about it much just because people get so like, no, just talk of Illini. Like, as soon as I tweet something like that, I will get three responses of like, no. I don't want to hear about this stuff. This is the Illini count. I don't want you to talk about this other stuff. But like it was so, how do I say it? Like, it was a movie. Like these are not like, so people know what I'm talking about. I'm just wandering here. Aston Villa is playing Liverpool in the FA Cup. Aston Villa has 14 COVID cases overnight. So they basically take anyone with the senior team, like anyone, and they sit them. Anyone who's tested positive, the coaches, they basically quarantine the entire team. But since it's FA Cup, they don't want to suspend it. So they just say, okay, you know what we're going to do? We're just going to play. And we'll play with basically the under 18 team, like the developmental players. So they go out there with 216, like president of the team basically comes out and says, like, we're literally tonight having parents drop players off for the game because they don't have a driver's license yet. And those kids are going to play against Liverpool tonight. And so they had a couple 16-year-olds, a couple 17-year-olds. One 17-year-old scored against Liverpool. And so it was like they lost 4-1, but it was tied 1-1 at halftime. And I was ready to make the movie. I was ready to, like, greatest sports story of the last 10 years. That
wild.
A bunch of literal 16- and 17-year-olds who are the only ones who weren't around the players with COVID could go out and play the world champions and, you know, do that.
That would have been wild.
That would have been crazy. Like, I mean, that one goal that they had to tie it, right? It was game 1-1. That's like probably that could be.
Yes. Now, he's the guy. He's actually the one guy I had heard of because he's like the next Jack Grealish, who is Villa's like homegrown superstar. So this kid is supposed to be the next one. And so for him to get the goal was kind of, you know, quaint. But the celebration after that goal, like it's a bunch of people born in like 05 just dancing around and celebrating while they play what's maybe the best team in the world. It's just it's a movie.
Robert, Villa's goalie is Pepe Reina, right?
What? How did this happen?
No, it is Remy Martinez.
Who's Pepe Reina?
Are we forgetting any? All right, do we need to talk darts? I think the American Cornhole League is in Sioux Falls this weekend.
Wait,
if we want to cover that real quick.
Thing. We're forgetting something. Illini, is our new linebacker coach going to be better than the previous one?
I don't know. Check their experience.
Oh no.
Last time I was booing the coach.
If you really want to talk about Twitter coach. Mutes right now and Twitter blocks,
it's pronounced boo. I just found that out.
Boo it back, baby. Boo it back.
I thought it was Bob. I'd seen his name before. I mean, he was. You know, Craig wrote a big long write up on his defense when we faced Rutgers. What was it, last year?
Last year, yeah.
Yeah, last year he was Rutgers defensive. So he, you know, we should go back and read Craig's scout on Boo's defense.
He's replying to people that, like, said it should have been Jay Layman. It's really funny.
Oh, really?
He replied. It was a really funny reply. He was like, I'll do my best to be better.
I like it. I like it. Yeah, I mean, I still... Gosh, I still want my guy, Aaron Moorhead. I'd love to see that on the staff.
High school alum of Sam and I's high school.
Go Warriors.
Yeah.
Yes.
Him and Brandon Leib.
Go Big Red.
Yeah. I mean, even if not, maybe even Greg Lewis, who's also coaching. But yeah, I mean, it's setting up pretty well. I still need that Nails recruiter. I need that Thad Ward guy. I mean, somebody in that chair. Mm-hmm. But it's coming together nicely, I think.
Robert, to conclude on that note, I just want you to know, in fifth grade, I was 60 pounds, but I played tackle football, smallest kid on my team. There was someone on my team, 180 pounds.
Love it.
I did a football camp at my high school with Aaron Moorhead, Greg Lewis, Walter Young, Kerry Davis. Just thought you'd appreciate that.
Surprisingly, the Illini did not offer that afternoon. They said, keep it up, kid. You're on our radar. And we might give you a preferred walk-on spot, but you got to bulk up a little bit if you want to play offensive tackle.
Sam, what were the rules on what – was there a weight rule on the kids that could carry the football? Do you remember?
Yeah, it was 100 pounds, so 100 pounds. I had a little bit of room to grow.
It was in the middleweight division for tackle football, the peewee division. Mm-hmm. Wow, good for you, Sam.
Thank you.
Oh, one last frustrating sports thing. Robert, I almost texted you in 2 in the morning last night when I saw Baker Mayfield talking about Blake Hantz seeing, of course, the Jacksonville, Illinois tight end who commits to Northwestern ends up becoming an NFL offensive lineman. Meanwhile, the other kid from Jacksonville 2 years later is a 4-star recruit, top 200, and flames out at Illinois and goes to ISU. Why does this keep happening to us?
I had the exact same reaction. Who was sending out? It just kept showing up on my Twitter. I think Meganson was actually retweeting it. That's how it showed up.
He's interesting. Oh, my goodness.
Yes. And he, you know, like, he's good friends with Blake, and he's super excited. But, yes, you're right. That the low 3-star guy goes to Northwestern and he's in an NFL playoff game getting called out by Baker Mayfield for his play, and the top, you know, our top recruit in three years flames out. God bless him. I still love Gabe.
He's a good kid. Well, if you made it this far past the Aston Villa talk, tweet at Robert. He'll send you a t-shirt. Get deep into his mentions.
Yes. He loves it.
But let's go and please, let's hope for a more positive podcast next time, hopefully discussing some wins. And next time we talk, hopefully you're fully back on the roller coaster, Robert, and you're like, oh, I don't even know what I was saying during the Maryland loss. Like, we are a Final Four team. We're a national contender. We just beat Maryland. No, oh my goodness. Wow. Iowa. Let's try Iowa by 25. Yes. And I'm so mad that we beat Iowa by 25 because we couldn't beat Maryland.
Sounds good to me. Let's hope for that kind of problem. Now, I want to clarify something because this is important, because I think a lot of people thought this is where we're going. You know, there are people, and I call it shorting the team. You know, the people like to just say, you know, after the first bad moment, you know what, we're not that good. And then they spend the rest of the year saying, see, I told you we're not that good. And it's just, you sit on the throne of perfection or nothing, and you just say, see, told you, see, told you. That's not why I was saying these things last night. I was saying these things out of devastation, not out of, you know what, I'll carve out a little spot here and I'll slap away the haters the rest of the season. I'm not going to do that. I still long for this team to put it together. I still see the pieces I saw in August and believe it's possible. We've seen the stretches against Duke, against Penn State, against you know, anybody that shows, yes, we can hang and yes, we can look extremely good. And, you know, we just have to find consistency. So if you want to, you want a happy podcast in 3 weeks, tell me that these next five games are just consistent, consistent, consistent. None of this, oh, great, they're asleep again. You mm-hmm. know, it's just, it has to show up at some point, 40 minutes.
Consistency is the name of the game. Thanks, Robert. We appreciate it. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll talk to you on the next one of the Boardroom ILL.